Thank you, Blessing Zulu. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Monday, June 13th, 2016. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Chris Gande.
And I'm Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye.
Here are our top stories this evening.
100 members of the MDC formation led by Professor Welshman Ncube dumped the party, citing lack of good leadership.
The group that I work with decided this weekend to leave the MDC. Our political careers are being messed up.
Some Zimbabweans make a living through removing landmines planted by the Rhodesian security forces.
We recruit locally, we train up the guys, and we put them to work on their own fields. We get the best information about the minefields too, because it's the communities who live there and know what's going on there.
And as Zimbabweans, they join the rest of the world in mourning the killing of people in an American nightclub.
These stories and much more coming up. Stay tuned. Nearly 100 members of the opposition MDC led by Professor Welshman Ncube, including top officials, this weekend announced that they were quitting the party, a move that will further weaken it after facing similar mass resignations a couple of months ago. The members who resigned this week include former National Healing Minister Moses Mzilandlovu, trade unionist Esof Mdlongwa, and former members of Parliament Abednego Moyo, Duduzile Dube, and Killian Masuku. The group last year wrote a petition asking its president Welshman Ncube to address a number of issues, including his alleged lack of transparency, hand-picking candidates, and other issues. Ncube could not be reached as he was not answering his phone. Mzilandlovu, who was relieved of his duties as Secretary General of the party after the petition last year, said they were leaving the party following Ncube's failure to address the issues raised in the petition.
The group that I work with decided this weekend to leave the MDC as a party for the reasons that were stated in the petition, and having far stretched out our patience and hope that the reasons we had cited as being the foundation for our displeasure and dissatisfaction with the style of leadership that he had given to the MDC, we found it appropriate now to say our patience can no longer any longer, and we think our political careers are being messed up, and so we found it appropriate to part ways with Professor Ncube.
Is it true that you are setting up a regional party?
We have numerous options ahead of us. I mean, options that we think we can take, but we're still weighing these options. But let me respond to the suggestion that we want to form a regional party. Firstly, we never appointed anyone to be our spokesperson over this matter. And we are surprised by the enthusiasm of these individuals who speak on our behalf when they are not part of our group. Secondly, on the concept of a regional party itself, let me remind Zimbabweans that Zimbabwe was ruled by a regional party in 1980 after ZANU-PF failed to garner support in Matabeleland.
And that was Moses Mzilandlovu, a former member of the MDC, led by Welshman Ncube. He spoke to Studio 7 on the line from Plumtree. Meanwhile, MDCT says it has asked Harare Acting Mayor Chris Mbanga to step down after failing to follow party directives on the reinstatement of suspended Harare Town Clerk James Mushore. Mushore has been a thorn in the flesh for the MDCT, as local government minister Sevia Kasukwere recently suspended Mayor Bernard Manyenyeni for allegedly recruiting Mushore without following proper channels. Mbanga is reportedly unwilling to work with Mushore.
For many years, minefields planted by the colonial Rhodesian forces during the War of Liberation of the 1970s to stop Golira incursions into the country have been an economic barrier for villagers living in the booby-trapped vicinities of villages in Mukumbura, communal lands, Mashonaland Central Province. Despite this setback, some locals are now earning a living through removing the landmines for the benefit of their families and thousands of villagers. Reporter Patricia Mudadigwa speaks to some of the villagers involved in the demining exercise along the Zimbabwe-Mozambique border.
Watching some of the villagers removing landmines planted by the Ian Douglas Smith regime is petrifying, as the booby traps can be triggered by any slight movement of a human being, a cow, a goat, or any related animals. Noah Pirora and Takawira Zenda know the dangers of demining and have mastered it. They move delicately to a demining zone, start identifying landmines using modernized equipment, and remove the mines. They look very relaxed when they work on the landmines, thanks to the knowledge they derived from Halo Trust, one of the world's largest humanitarian mine clearance organizations. The non-governmental organization claims in its website that it saves lives and restores communities threatened by landmines and other weapons of war, such as cluster bombs, stockpiles of small arms, and improvised explosive devices, or IEDs. Halo is doing exactly that in Mukumbura, where Piroro and Zenda have been highly trained in removing landmines. Piroro says, despite the danger associated with the demining, he is now making a living of clearing landmines.
Some of the deminers who get a chance to be employed here are now constructing their houses and living well.
Zenda adds that demining is creating some jobs for local people.
In this area, we've been facing problems in terms of production of crops and other self-help projects that we can do. So the demining exercise that has been done will go a long way in helping us to have projects so that we look after our families. Poverty is the major problem here.
For professional reasons, the two declined to refill their monthly earnings. Halo Trust Program Manager Tom Deep says, apart from empowering communities, local people also have good knowledge of the minefields. He says, clearing their own land also motivates Mukumbura villagers to do a thorough job in minefields.
We recruit locally, we train up the guys, and we put them to work on their own fields. We get the best information about the minefields too, because it's the communities who live there and know what's going on there. They're motivated, it's their families that are going to use the land. It makes sense, they're not going to leave something behind if they think their own families are going to use it.
While some people still view demining activities as a preserve for men, in Mukumbura communal lands, even women have joined in clearing minefields. Reporting for Studio 7 in Mukumbura, I'm Patricia Mudadigwa.
Zimbabweans have joined the rest of the world in mourning the death of 49 people in an American nightclub early Saturday morning, shot by a lone gunman. President Barack Obama said money, the tragedy in a gay club in Florida, appears to be a case of homegrown extremism. Obama said the killer, Omar Sadiq Martin, was apparently inspired by extremist information on the internet.
At this stage, we see no clear evidence that he was directed externally. It does appear that at the last minute, he announced allegiance to ISIL. But there is no evidence so far that he was, in fact, directed by ISIL. And there also, at this stage, is no direct evidence that he was part of a larger plot. The point is that if we have self-radicalized individuals in this country, then they are going to be very difficult, oftentimes, to find ahead of time. And how easy it is for them to obtain weapons is, in some cases, going to make a difference as to whether they're able to carry out attacks like this or not.
Authorities say that during his attack on the club, Martini called Orlando's 911 emergency line and pledged allegiance to Islamic State and its leader, Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, and also referenced the 2013 Boston Marathon bombing that killed three people. We spoke to Promise Sunday, a Zimbabwean living in Florida, about the killings.
Right now, I think the biggest activity that's going on is law enforcement is trying to notify the families of the deceased and also releasing the names. Soon after they notify the families, they are releasing those names. So far, about 29 names have been released of the 48 murdered, and then the 49 that were murdered by this gunman.
What kind of activity are you seeing around that area?
Mostly still considered a crime area. So the immediate club where the shootings happened is actually being treated as a crime scene. They are still looking at ballistics and all those other things. So it is actually cordoned off, and no one is actually allowed to be very close to the scene. But in the immediate environment, it actually happened very close to the Orlando Regional Medical Center. And I think we have seen some blood donation red buses stationed there, and the community is coming en masse to contribute blood and set some flowers, vigils, somewhere close to where it happened.
Is there any indication that there could be some Zimbabweans?
So far, no. There is no indication of any Zimbabweans. I have personally called around, most of Zimbabweans that live in the area that I know, and we are a tightly knit community, and there is no reports of any one of our community members having been involved. The club is a mostly predominantly a Spanish gay club.
That was Promise Sunday, a Zimbabwean living in Orlando, Florida, in the U.S., speaking with Studio 7.
Pathfinder Luxury Coaches recently achieved a milestone by entering into a joint venture with South African bus company Intercape. And now, the company's co-founder, Cleopatra Magoni, is taking up another potentially fortune-changing opportunity, the Mandela Washington Fellowship. Magoni is one of the nearly 60 Zimbabwean youths who are traveling to the United States this week for the six-week fellowship to do leadership and business studies. She talks to Studio 7 reporter Ntungamili Nkomo.
I feel it's a lifetime opportunity, not just to change myself and to say Cleopatra as an individual, but also the potential that it's got to change so many other people and organizations that I represent. Talking even for a lot of women in Zimbabwe, a lot of women in Africa, talking even as an ambassador for the transport sector, which is my passion, and even for the tourism sector, it's got a whole lot of potential of changing through the things that I'll probably just go there and learn and come back and try and implement. So I'm very excited, and I'm looking forward to this opportunity, and I hope I don't just change myself, but I change also, the whole lot of people who are around me and the people who are just in touch with me.
Tell us more about your company.
Okay, my company, I co-founded Pathfinder Luxury Coaches. It's become a well-known brand in Zimbabwe. It's a luxury transport company which does intercity routes. And our dream is to get to go to all the tourist destinations within Zimbabwe. But for now, we ply the Harare Blue Big Falls daily. That's my business. And recently, we've done a joint venture with Intercape. Intercape is a South African company to form Intercape Pathfinder. And I'm currently working as its business development director. So I'm responsible for sourcing of new opportunities across Africa and just exploring and making sure we do the marketing and the strategic planning well.
And how do you hope to benefit from this fellowship?
From the fellowship, I hope to benefit quite a number of things. I'm looking forward to the leadership sessions because, I believe even as a leader, it's a very dynamic kind of skill, and you have to keep learning to become a better leader. And I also hope to benefit mostly from the cross-cultural connections and the networks and the relationships, because I really believe as a business person, even in Zimbabwe or in Africa, or even as a global business person, you actually do more from making relationships with people in different sectors and different areas and different, because you leverage off those relationships to actually make your business get better and to make yourself even better as a person. So I'm looking forward to quite a number of things, but mostly for me is the networking.
That was Mandela Washington Fellow and Pathfinder Luxury Coaches co-founder Cleopatra Makoni on the line from Harare with Studio 7 reporter Ntungameli Nkomo.
Young people out there, are you concerned about the many issues that affect you and Zimbabweans in general? Rise to the occasion. Make an impact. Let your voice be heard, and let's get talking on The Connection.
We cover a range of issues that affect young people.
I am Tatenda Gumbo.
And I'm Ntungameli Nkomo.
And we are the hosts for your number one youth forum, The Connection. Join us tomorrow as we discuss the Day of the African Child being observed under the theme Conflict and Crisis in Africa, Protecting All Children's Rights.
To get involved, send us a message with the hashtag TheConnection on WhatsApp. The number is 001-202-465-0318.
Coming up,
people living with albinism facing various problems in Zimbabwe.
And the football fraternity mourns the death of 7 Dynamo supporters.
Stay tuned.